Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Houston Innovators Podcast. I'm Natalie Harms, editor of Innovation Map. This podcast is brought to you by Texas Citizens Bank. Through good and tough times, you need a bank that will stand by you. Texas Citizens Bank gives Houston small and medium-sized businesses the resources they need to thrive. As one customer says, a huge thank you to our friends at Texas Citizens Bank. Great customer service and down-to-earth good people. Call 713-948-5700 to learn more today. My guest for this episode is Carolyn Rods, founder of Hello Alice, a tech-enabled one-stop-shop platform for small business owners to find capital, networks, and business services. Carolyn has been a pillar of the Houston innovation ecosystem, and she joins the show today to discuss everything from Hello Alice's latest funding round and their new partnership with the NAACP to how diversity and inclusion among startups in Houston and beyond has changed over the past few years. Carolyn, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
So I know a lot of the Houston innovation ecosystem is familiar with you and Hello Alice, but we got to start with some background on you. How did you get into this entrepreneurship world? What in your career kind of led up to founding Hello Alice?
So I left some time in investment banking, really doing a 180 in my career. I knew I wanted something different, and I started a business. Frankly, pretty blind as to what I was jumping into. And ultimately, after 2 years, I was in the retail space. After 2 years of that company, decided to shut it down. It wasn't really growing in the way that I wanted. It wasn't necessarily a business that I decided I wanted to be in long term, and closed that company down and started another company probably about a year later in the digital media space, and grew that company for about 7 years, ultimately sold it, and at that point, just took a step back with the plan to kind of reassess. I just had my first child. And this was supposed to be, frankly, a side hustle that just evolved into such an opportunity. I had my own experience of realizing that the same entrepreneur can have very different paths through starting and growing a business. And also, as I met with so many other entrepreneurs, just from a pure kind of mentorship standpoint, I realized the issues that I had had with my first business and so many of the reasons that that wasn't the successful company that I imagined were being recreated by entrepreneurs everywhere. And it largely was dependent on the fact that they weren't tapped into the ecosystem. They didn't have the network and exposure that many more successful entrepreneurs have. And so I started thinking about how do we build in a scalable way what's happening in these micro communities in Silicon Valley or in New York. At the time, they were really exclusively there. How do we take that and pull that into the rest of the world and build a really scalable solution that will help every entrepreneur, regardless of the type of company that they're trying to grow, to help them achieve success, however they may define it?
So over the past few years, how has Hello Alice evolved? And, you know, I know there's a tech element to what y'all do. So how does that work and what's the difference it's making?
So at a high level, Hello Alice is an entrepreneur's passport through starting and growing a business. It's our belief is that if there is an understanding, and the same as in the real world, if you know who an entrepreneur is and you know the type of company that they're trying to grow, you can make meaningful connections across the ecosystem, and those connections will help them achieve success. The way we talk about connections, it's not only connections to individuals, to humans, but also to corporations and to potential customers and to networks and organizations, but also the transactions that owners are making. So are they making the right purchases for their business at the right time? Are they bringing in money at the right time? Are they deploying that money in smart ways that will support their growth? And so we really think of Hello Alice as the stickiness along the entire path for a small business owner at every moment, pushing and surfacing those connections that are most relevant based on where they are in their business. And we're very data-driven. For us, everything is about the data. So it's understanding both where an individual entrepreneur is, but then how do we learn from the macro ecosystem? Once we have, you know, millions of entrepreneurs, we're at 500,000 now, but when we get to the millions, and even now where we are, starting to see these trends of who is succeeding. If we start to look at, you know, Latino entrepreneurs in manufacturing, living in, you know, Iowa, what are the differences in decisions that they're making versus, you know, a veteran that is living in Houston that might be running a tech company? And how do we start to build the right paths for them based on who they are?
I think it's interesting you bring up, you know, innovation outside of the two coasts. I mean, Hello Alice has always been a part of Houston with you being based here, but it's also been a part of the West Coast with your co-founder, Elizabeth Gore. And I think that's really interesting. And I wonder, how has that played a role in the development of Hello Alice and what you're able to offer people and entrepreneurs who are utilizing your services?
We always say, Hello Alice, we're small business centric, but we always keep our toes sort of dipped into the tech ecosystem. We are a tech company ourselves, and so we certainly find support there for us as founders and for us building the company. But at the same time, there's so much of that knowledge that we want to extract and start to put into a very traditional small business owner. The reality is most companies are, you know, it's the dry cleaner on the corner, or it's the restaurant down the street, or it's, you know, the accountant that's in their office supporting other small businesses. And so much of our economy, as we all realized during the pandemic, is driven by these small business owners. That's the core of who we are serving. So Houston has been great for us because it's kept us squarely in the middle of the country. We have this very strong lens and insight into, you know, what is happening kind of Main Street America. We get to see obviously all across Texas and you know, up through the Midwest, like what is really happening there? And that's super critical to us. At the same time, having Elizabeth on the West Coast has been invaluable in terms of, you know, being able to quickly access capital, being able to be right in front of a lot of the tech partners that we're working with who are selling products and services into small business owners, where a lot of that scalability is happening. And we I would say we leverage both of those equally to support, but it's been a great bridge and also helps us, I think, keep in the right state of mind, depending on who we're talking to and what we're trying to accomplish, and always with the goal of how do we bridge the ecosystem together in a way that's going to push all of us forward. I think the unique thing about what we do is that if these small business owners succeed in the way that we want and that we hope, everybody succeeds, right? We have major corporations that are getting to sell more products and services to them. We have governments that are getting more out of tax revenue. We have individuals whose communities are boosted and uplifted through job creation, and certainly the small business owners themselves. So we're in this sweet spot that we get to work every day to build something that everybody benefits from, which means we have total alignment in terms of what we're trying to grow. And then certainly us as a business, we make money when these owners succeed and grow because they're spending more and engaging more and transacting more in our platform, which is ultimately how we make money. So it's a win-win all around, but we get to have a very sort of idealistic outcome that we're working towards, but also a great financial opportunity for everybody.
I really like the way of describing Hello Alice as a bridge, because you have it both like Houston to the West Coast, but you also have this bridge between tech startups and small businesses, which tech startups are a small business and they have similar challenges, but there's a whole world of small businesses that don't necessarily have that tech element. So it's really cool to see the bridge again between those two worlds. One thing that's also been really interesting to observe and just cool, that cool factor, right, is how you've been, Hello Alice has been really associated with some powerful women, Gwyneth Paltrow, Kristen Bell, and I mean, the list goes on, and it's just, like I said, that cool factor. So what has that really meant, and what does that celebrity element bring to just, you know, your average entrepreneur in the middle of the country?
I think it's a real testament to how everybody's rooting for small business. We don't pay those influencers. Gwyneth Paltrow stepped up because we met her at a conference and said, hey, we're doing this great thing. We'd love to get you involved. And she jumped at the opportunity. Same with Kristen Bell and Pitbull and Serena Williams and all of these people really stepped up because they want business owners to succeed and they know that it's the right thing for all of us. And equity in this space is really meaningful for lots of different reasons. But I always go back to that. I'm like, it's very rare that we talk to somebody who says, no, I don't have, you know, an hour to spare to go help impact and implement systemic change for small business owners. So that part is really exciting to me and gives me great optimism and hope that change is happening. I mean, we're already seeing it start to happen, but I think it's only going to get better and it's only going to get stronger with more momentum behind it as more people start to pay attention to it. And so that's a huge piece of our job is just how do we build exposure around what this really means, not just for the small business owners themselves, but for all of us. So I'm excited. It gets me. And I truly believe in sort of the good of humanity. And when people are given an opportunity to help, if you make it easy for them and if you give them a clear plan, particularly for entrepreneurs, I think people are always willing to step up.
And you mentioned, you know, last year shining a spotlight on both how we're rooting for small businesses as a society, but also how vulnerable they are and how many small businesses couldn't survive the pandemic. And so I thought what was really great for Hello Alice is that opportunity to provide those resources that you did in the greatest time of need. So how did that come about? What was gathering all of those resources, getting all that information together for small businesses while yourself, you were going through the same thing everybody else was with the pandemic. So I guess talk us through a little bit of that that journey that y'all took to help small businesses during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah, we always get told by people, they're like, oh, you're just in the right place at the right time. And I always laugh because we've been in this space for 5 years now. And we truly have always believed it's just the right thing to do. And it makes sense. And what COVID did for us as a business was shine a light on everything that we've been doing. And again, helped bring more attention and exposure to it. But the reason we were able to pivot so quickly, we started deploying emergency grants for small business owners 3 days after shelter in place started. And we were able to do that because we knew access to capital was the most imminent need of small business owners. And we'd already been structuring and setting up to deploy grants before COVID hit. We accelerated that process significantly. We deployed those grants far before we had planned to roll out a more formal program. And we're frankly still playing a little bit of catch up in terms of how do we most effectively communicate that and organize that and make it easier for those small business owners to find those grants. But so I think that was a huge piece of just knowing the needs and being ready to step up in a way that was meaningful. We had planned actually a huge launch that was really going to be centered around the presidential election cycle, because we thought that was going to be the big, meaningful sort of public piece for small business owners in 2020. And starting to pull a collective voice together and understand and publicize what their needs were. Our South by Southwest launch obviously was canceled. We had put a ton of money into that as a business. It was frankly the biggest marketing expense we would ever put out as a business ourselves. But it ended up, you know, we pulled together and we said, okay, what do these business owners need? They obviously don't need what we thought they needed anymore. They don't really care about the election cycle right now. And so let's just brainstorm what is the best thing that we can do to step up behind our owners and give them what they need today. That came in the form of the emergency grants that I mentioned, but also our COVID-19 business center that we pulled together as many resources as we could find. The whole team jumped in and just started finding things that every day we were updating and changing and making sure those got deployed. That allowed us to partner with organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the Hispanic Chamber and the SBA and all these organizations that we could say, okay, how do we rally together and let's actually go solve these problems? So we helped deploy PPP loans. We helped educate people on PPP loans about what that meant, how they could apply. We helped, you know, partner with some of the banks to get those things out, like FNBO and Chase and Silicon Valley Bank. And worked very hard just to say, at the end of the day, it's my strong belief that if we were helping our customers and we're helping them meaningfully, the rest of it's all going to fall into place. And we're always iterating and changing and pivoting on those pieces. But every day I wake up and I'm like, okay, how are we going to help small business owners today? What is the most important thing that we need to be focused on? And that's how I start my to-do list. the rest obviously is all the administrative and functional things that we need to run a business. But at the top of my list every day is something that I am doing that's actually helping a small business owner.
And I think what I took from what you were just talking about too is you're both providing the resources, but also making decisions on your own company in light of all of these changes with South by canceling and all of the other challenges. So for Hello Alice, what sort of challenges did y'all have to overcome during the pandemic? And as we're moving out of it, what sort of moves are you making to, you know, stay ahead and to recoup almost? I know we're maybe past the days of recuperation and hopefully are back to normal in a business sense, but, you know, what was that like?
It changed us permanently as a company in a lot of ways. I mean, the first thing we did was like round up our board and say, okay, here's where we are. Here's how much runway we have. We don't know what the future is going to bring. Like this could, you know, be horrible for our company. We'd never operated in a down cycle before. We'd operated when the economy was booming and things were great. And, you know, people were throwing money around left and right. We had never operated in a down cycle. And what we learned through that process was we're a really valuable resource for business owners when times are great. And we're also a really valuable resource for them when times are tough, which was very validating to us as a business, but that was an unknown. So we got super lean with our own expenses. We cut out as much as we could. We were fortunate in that both of our leases were actually up in Houston and San Francisco. Our San Francisco lease was up in April and our Houston lease was up in October. And so we let both of those lapse and said, we're just going to tighten up. We're going to hit pause on all of our hiring and then made some strategic decisions on our marketing spend and mostly reallocating and thinking through where are we going to shift things. But it ended up being very positive for us as a company in terms of just the growth. And I think, again, it just showed that when we stepped up for those owners, our acquisition increased. We were able to deploy a ton of grant funds, both our own funds, but also through a lot of our enterprise partners. We had a lot of corporations that were coming to us saying, help us support these small business owners. And we were a great conduit for that. And so we had a great increase in revenue as a company. We had over 700% revenue growth. We had over 1100% acquisition growth of the owners that we support. And so our metrics were all tracking really well, but it's still, I mean, and it opened up new ways for us to support those owners. You know, I think we still continue to think about what does this mean for the business long-term? It actually was the catalyst to us starting to realize what help grants could be, not just for owners that were struggling because the world turned upside down in a pandemic, but really saying, look, there's a lot of people that don't have access to loans through their bank. They're not able to get PPP, and they certainly can't get more traditional credit credit access. A lot of them don't even have credit cards that are able to support them. So grants are this great bridge into mainstream capital, right? We can help get these businesses up and running. We can give them some funds to get them started. And so this became a real kind of viable source of capital for businesses that it couldn't access other streams. So we started a funding center that helps launch both grants. We've integrated loans in there, really focused again on a lot of entrepreneurs that don't have sort of the mainstream access. We are we have a great partnership with MasterCard that formed through that of how to bridge people into credit card access. And so we've got some really cool things in the works that'll be launching in 2022 around that, that I'm very excited about, but ultimately with the goal of how do we start to make these systemic changes, pull people into mainstream capital to give them just enough to get started where they can get their first credit card, where they can get their first loan, then where they can start to think about venture and the high growth. So ultimately, I think building a great pipeline for a lot of these small businesses to actually become startups themselves.
Yeah, startup and small business funding, pandemic or not, has been, it's such a challenge to find that grant or investment. And I think we think of VC investment in the tech world, but, you know, startups don't have that opportunity always. So I think it's very interesting to see the role that grants played and how the pandemic affected that and moving forward, what that role really is. But speaking of funding and venture capital, you know, one of the exciting headlines of the summer for Hello Alice was the $21 million Series B round y'all raised. So tell me a little bit about that process of getting there and what these new investors mean to your business.
I think we are so fortunate in having such an incredible set of investors behind us at the Hello Alice who really trust in the decisions that Elizabeth and I make as founders, but also allow us to have a level of transparency with them where they're helping to challenge us and they're bringing us ideas and they're helping us make better decisions for the company. When we made the decision to raise, it was really about making sure that we had, you know, good, strong core fundamentals, that we felt like we were putting good money to work, where we could scale the business. And it's our belief that the more small business owners that we can support, it gives us a more unified voice and a stronger voice to go implement systemic change. So we're able to go talk to the banks and really impact change with them around how they're underwriting credit and what they're doing and a lot of the decisions that they're making in a more equitable way. We're able to go, you know, work with the SBA in a meaningful way and bring that voice and that direct tie to the small business owners to the forefront of a lot of the policies that are being implemented. And so that was a big piece of how quickly do we start to bring owners in, make sure that we're strengthening that voice and giving a more unified voice to their needs. When we started thinking about who to go raise from, you know, ultimately Hello Alice is a fintech platform. At the end of the day, our goal is how do we put more money into the pockets of small business owners and how do we help them deploy that money in smart and meaningful ways that will help them grow. That is our kind of core business model. And then we also work with corporations on how do we help them utilize this data in meaningful ways that will help support their businesses, but also in turn help bridge their resources back to the small business owners. So we closed out the $21 million Series B. QED was our lead in that raise. They have been absolutely incredible. One of the top fintech platforms. So we were really grateful to get the attention and support and excitement from them that we got. We brought in Harbert, also came in on the round. We made sure we brought in really diverse investors. So we have groups like Green Book, which is really focused on African-American equity. We had How Women Invest, which is an incredible group of women investors are looking at kind of both everything from seed to later stage investments. And so we've always kept a real focus on the diversity of our cap table. So that's been exciting. I think I'm very, very proud of our cap table, both from just a personal connection to them, but also the diversity that they bring, knowing that we are putting money back out. As we succeed, we're putting more money back out into more diverse communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think diversity and inclusion has always been a backbone of Hello Alice. I think you've been very intentional with that, and especially, you know, supporting women and female founders. And right in line with that, I know the most recent news out of Hello Alice has been that the NAACP Empowerment Programs now has ownership stake in Hello Alice. So what does that mean? Talk us through how that came about and the opportunities that now provides, you know, your membership and people involved with Hello Alice.
NAACP has been an amazing partner of ours that really came together over the pandemic. They were particularly as there was a lot of conversation around Black Lives Matter and that came much more to the forefront. They were given a lot of resources to put to work. And small business is one of the core pillars of areas that they're focused on as an organization, because it really does help infuse money into the communities where it's most needed and start to build racial equity through economic empowerment. And so we connected with them. Again, I think this just points to the importance of having a really diverse cap table, but it was our investors over at the Green Book who connected us with them and informed that relationship. When they heard about what we were doing with the Black community, the number of owners that we had that we were supporting already, the you know, information that we had that we could share about them and the insights and learnings that we had from that group, they were like, this is a great bridge to make in terms of how they could help deploy a lot of the grant funds that they wanted to share, both through their own organization and through partnerships like the Celtics and Bacardi and Vistaprint and all these organizations that were coming to them saying, we want to support how do we support, how do we give money out to business owners? It just really became a great, very synergistic relationship. And that continued to grow. And it really was about us saying, look, again, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that when we succeed, that this money is going straight back into the communities that helped us build the business too. We really feel a great allegiance to organizations like the NAACP and to the U.S. Hispanic Chamber and to, you know, the Latino Business Action Network and the, you know, National Gay and Lesbian Chamber of Commerce. We work so closely with these organizations to bring their voice, to help us. I mean, they do everything from helping us identify where do these grant funds go. We have diversity councils. We have roundtables that we're hosting with them constantly. They are real, I would say, you know, kind of co-builders of this platform with us. And so making sure that we're actually putting money back to work in those communities. So NAACP was a huge milestone for us, something that we're really proud of as a business. And I think a partnership that only will continue to grow and making sure that we're aligned in terms of what we're all working towards and how we can build, you know, better together.
Yeah, and I think the partnership also really shines a spotlight on the needle moving within the startup ecosystem and world. And I wonder how you've observed that happen. Of course, over the past few years, I think there's just been a more conscious effort to make sure that startups that are founded by people of color are getting support they need. So I just wanted to touch base with you and see, you know, both in Houston and on a larger scale, is that changing? What have you been observing in that world?
It is definitely changing. I don't think any of us can dispute that, you know, the last 12 months, you know, 18 months have really shined a spotlight on the inequities that exist. I think it put a lot of responsibility into everybody's hands of we all play a role in this. And that's been a perspective I think we've taken since the start. It is, nobody can do this alone. These are big systemic issues that, you know, have been in the making for decades, you know, if not hundreds of years, but starting to chip away. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can chip away at making a difference. And whether that means thinking about where we're putting our dollars to work, where are we spending money? Where are we making purchases? You know, if it's about where are we, you know, what are the corporations that we're supporting? As if we're working at a corporation, what does that role mean? And how do we start to deploy resources internally? We've had more outreach from individual employees at companies saying, look, I started this initiative in my company. It's gotten some traction. We now have this pool of capital we'd love to deploy, or we have some resources or a program or something that they've set up inside their company. Almost every time it starts with an individual employee. And I think that is so cool that those are now, those ideas have a voice in the larger corporate spectrum and they're actually impacting the budgets accordingly. So that part's exciting to me. We're only seeing more and more grants programs. We're having a ton of inbound interest from those. On the lending side, I think we're seeing a lot of momentum there. We have conversations with hundreds of banks across the country around what their underwriting models look like, where it doesn't work, and where they're seeing kind of these gaps in terms of what they're able to lend to based on structures that they have. And then getting really creative and brainstorming, how do we build systems that actually do work? And what does that mean? Whether that works, you know, through a CDFI or through another financial organization outside of the bank because of the regulations that exist. We just officially partnered with the Small Business Administration, which is really amazing in and of itself. Their ability to partner with private organizations is, you know, very rigorous. And so the idea that we now get to really work together, and we saw a lot of that happening over the pandemic as well, of them really taking on these public-private partnerships to push a lot of the resources that they have out. And so I think the innovation that's happening at that level is very exciting to me. They're starting to, you know, look a lot at how do they utilize technology to scale things? How do they utilize a lot of these organizations that are out on the ground? They just launched a great community navigator program working with local organizations in these communities, which will be so powerful. And so there's a lot happening, I think, on so many different layers right now, which we're just starting to see the impacts of that. But I hope, and I feel very confident given all the conversations that we are, you know, party to, the momentum is picking up. It's not waning. We're not seeing this as sort of some, like, you know, flash that happened is going to dissipate and go away. there's multi-year commitments to this. A lot of the companies that we're talking to are looking at 3, 5, 10-year commitments, which is exciting.
Absolutely. And I think this ties into how much Hello Alice is doing kind of across the board, but also how much you're doing here in Houston. I think you're a pillar of the Houston innovation ecosystem. And I don't say that lightly. You were, and Hello Alice was very much a part of our Innovation Map Awards in September. I think you were a finalist for 3 categories. So I really appreciated how much the ecosystem really respects you and Hello Alice. But so I thought, you know, while I have you here, if we should talk about the Houston innovation ecosystem and how you've observed that changing, kind of in a similar vein. But, you know, what have you seen change over the years for the Bayou City and for innovators here? And, you know, what work still needs to be done in your opinion?
We've come such a long way. I think back, I mean, when I originally started the company, that was back in 2017. There was not much. I would say when I originally conceived of the idea, it was around 2015. And I remember being like, there's nothing here. Like, how cool would it be if we had, you know, I think we had Surge at the time was the only accelerator that existed in the oil and gas space. And I was like, well, how cool would it be if we could actually have an accelerator here? And then we saw things like, you know, Station pop up, and now we've got the Ion and everything you guys are doing with Innovation Map and at the Canon. And I just look at all these spaces. I'm like, there's so much happening and it's everywhere, which is incredible. I mean, to think how far we've come and frankly, a pretty short time is very impressive. I think the collaboration has continued to grow. And so seeing people actually work together more and more is exciting. I think we always have a long way to go there, and that'll always be tough with Houston, just given our geographic spread. But we're seeing more of it happening. I also, you know, it was amazing when COVID first started, we pulled together a roundtable and just invited every kind of organizational head that we could think of and saying, okay, what's going on? How do we help? What does the city need? How do we step up and kind of start to learn? And it was, I think we had like 65 people on that call. It was press. It was government officials. It was corporate representatives. I mean, to me, it was just a snapshot of, again, people are here and they want to step up and they're willing to support. And the more that we can create those pathways for them, the more action we're going to see start to play out. But I think you guys have been, I mean, over Innovation Map, just such an incredible way of distributing all that's going on. I am a voracious reader and very, very happy consumer of all your content. But I think it's so amazing that it's not like we're hearing the same stories over and over again. You're realizing just how many different and diverse stories there are here.
I think it's, so Innovation Map is 3 years old and I felt late to the game, but still just the amount of coverage that I've done over the past 3 years is completely, you know, supported everything you just said that has happened. It's just like been wild how much how much growth has happened. But yeah, there's definitely, you know, still, I still got news stories about new accelerators and new incubators and everything. So I think there's definitely more to be done and more to happen. But just to wrap up, because I think something that's so unique about you is you're a startup founder yourself. You work with entrepreneurs and small business owners. So what's your go-to advice to give specifically women who are looking to start a company and, you know, they don't know necessarily where to start? Maybe they have an idea, but that's all they have. You know, of course, I'm sure your advice is get involved with Hello Alice, but you know, outside of that, what's your go-to game plan that you give women starting their businesses?
Yeah, I always tell people all of my advice gets like integrated into Hello Alice, but you know, ultimately I think it's really about having a very clear North Star. And I think that is really about more about the problem that you're trying to solve. Because I think that the solution changes so many times. I look at what we were originally building versus what we are today versus where I hope we are, you know, 5, 10 years in the future. It's very different. And we're constantly learning and constantly tweaking and changing that. But the problem, I actually stumbled across, I was like cleaning out some old files. And well, 2 things that happened. One, we just ended up hiring actually the contractor who built the very first version of the accelerator that we ran. And it was like a Photoshop file that I had sent over. And he's like, oh, I just found this and thought you'd enjoy it. And I was looking at all the messaging. I'm like, nothing has changed. Like, we are still solving for the very same problems that we were helping to solve for back then. And then I looked at our original pitch deck that I stumbled across, and it was the same thing. I'm like, nothing has changed in terms of the problem. The solution, night and day. I mean, it's so different. And I think so much stronger. But having that strong North Star is so important, and also making sure that there is a very, very clear mission integrated into that. And I think that's been the thing for us that has kept our team, you know, we have highs and we have lows, and, you know, we succeed and we fail all the time. But every time we're, you know, we're in a debate or we're in a discussion about something, 100% of our team is so committed to the success of small business owners that wherever we land, it is ultimately, that's what we come back to, is what is best for the owners. And that means sometimes we leave huge chunks of revenue on the table. That means sometimes we build something that, you know, may not really be what we originally envisioned. But at the end of the day, it is what we collectively have agreed is best for the business owners. And I think without that, I can't really imagine trying to build a very sustainable company that doesn't have that sort of internal alignment.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's very interesting. And I'm sure entrepreneurs listening are like, wow, to start with a mission and a problem you're solving and have that, you know, not change, is a real testament to a company's need, right? That your people are going to need Hello Alice for the end of time. That's great job security there. Well, thank you so much for talking to me today, Carolyn. It's always a joy to get to chat with you. Like I said, you are an integral part of the Houston innovation ecosystem. I think plenty of people agree with me on that. So appreciate you coming on.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. And thanks for continuing to spread the word about all the things going on in Houston.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Houston Innovators Podcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss next week's edition, and check out innovationmap.com for the latest Houston startup and innovation news.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.